Three. Wait. Yeah, get them all out now, or else.
Yabzer. Okay, I'm ready.
Yabzer? Yeah. Yabzer. Three, two.
Yeah.
Welcome to Freaks Chats, Episode 9. My name is Alan, and I'm joined as always by my best friend, Magellan.
Hey, it doesn't get old, man.
Does it actually not? I don't know.
It actually does not get old, you call me your best friend. It's great. Welcome to Episode 9, everybody. You thought that this was going to be Episode 8 still, but that's not the case. It's not the case.
According to the beginning of Episode 8, this is Part 2. But alas, it's actually Episode 9, just for consistency's sake. This is going to be another one-episode discussion, folks, because it's the busy season. Take it away, Bob. How's the weather?
Well, you can see there's a warm front coming across the warm front. All right, so that is one of our classic bits that we're retiring from this point. This week, we just wanted to bring it out one more time. Slurring weather reporter, one of the more tried and true.
Mostly tried. Mostly tried.
We really, really tried.
It's tried and tried, really. Yeah, this is episode 9. Again, in case you weren't sure, we're discussing episode 16 of Freaks and Geeks. It was called Smooching and Mooching. Yum. And Magellan... is directed by Jake Kasdan, and guess who wrote this episode? Oh, God, no! It was Steve Banos, the actor who plays Mr. Kowchevsky, wrote this episode.
Wait.
Yes.
I'm saying wait for two reasons. One, because that's crazy. Two, because I fully just dropped my laptop.
The one that's recording this?
Yep, but everything's fine.
Yep, everyone, you can hear, we're all still here. Okay.
Everything's good.
Do you need a second?
This is amazing. That's amazing. Kowchevsky wrote it?
Yes.
In character?
I don't know, but in character? I'm going to write this story about these kids. The Sam stuff makes a lot more sense if it was written from like a really dumb guy who doesn't know how romance works.
Oh. Do you think Kowchevsky used to be a Sam?
Yes, I do. Because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that used to act out and then suddenly was like very mature and became old man. It seems like he was a nerd who just wanted to pick on the bullies kind of thing. And he's just like, I'll make everyone's life shitty.
He's got a deep-seated resentment against somebody for some reason.
Right.
So there's, I mean, maybe if the show had gone on longer, we would have gotten a window into that. But then again, the show doesn't seem like the kind of show that's like flashback to the 50s and everybody's wearing like 50s shades and a 50s jacket.
I would like a flashback in this show at some point, though, just because you usually now would see like flashback to the 80s and everyone's got like bell bottoms and stuff like that. But then this is like, it's like Mr. Weir and it goes flashback to the 40s and he's a baby surrounded by World War II. So Smooching and Mooching is not a great episode. It's it's got parts.
It's
got
great parts. I liked it.
It's fun. I just am so baffled by the Sam stuff and where they decided to take it that I couldn't be on board with Cindy just like falling into Sam's hands and everything he wanted being right in front of him. And then he's like, I actually don't like this.
Right.
Ugh. That's so exhausting to watch.
Why don't we just unpack the philosophy of all of this, since I think this is the meatiest part of this episode.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So here, I mean, it is a validation on some level, and perhaps it's meant to be a commentary, but it feels like a validation of the nice guy strategy that Sam had fallen into, where
yes,
it's like, you know, oh, she's going to date whoever, but one day, you know, she's going to realize that all those jocks, they just want one thing, And she says that they just want one thing. And then she's going to come to me and like, you know, I'm a nice guy and I'm going to be good and everything's going to be good. And pretty much word for word, Cindy is like, he only wants one thing. There's a part where she says, I deserve to date a nice guy. Yuck. And so it seems like that point of view or that technique or whatever you want to call what Sam's doing, it seems to have worked.
Exactly. That's, you're nailing what bummed me out about it.
And then the question becomes, it's sort of, there's multiple pieces to it now, because one, do we read this as, okay, it worked, but do we read that as a positive or a negative thing? Number one. And
right.
Number two, if we read it, you know, I think there are ways to read it as a negative thing that are still very frustrating. Like the idea that, so I think what the episode is trying to set us up for is Sam and Cindy are going to get together and, hey, it's going to be super cool. Sam always wanted this. And then he's going to realize that the grass is not greener on the other side. But then where does that leave Cindy in all of this, right? She's just like a prop in Sam's nice guy story and then turns out to be also annoying.
This is
the arc that you've constructed for us.
That's a good, okay. I'm trying to think where to start with what you've been saying, because I'm agreeing with all of it. But like, I think that point about Cindy being a prop is definitely a good one and kind of explains why I have ragged on Cindy so much throughout this cast. Is like, she doesn't have anything to do with just like being a person. She exists for the geeks to like study and pine after and criticize. So when she says, I deserve a nice guy, that's basically her just saying like, yep, Sam, all your hard work totally paid off. Good job. You did it. And then they get together and yeah, like you said, they go to the makeout party, which is like a pretty fun scene. And then I don't know, they kind of make out, but he's like, oh no, I don't know how I feel about this at all. And it's like, why, man? Just, I don't understand why he doesn't like it. I guess maybe, yeah, because she's quote unquote annoying, but it just seems like he's always looking for something to be unhappy about.
Yeah, I mean, I meant more so like, what does the next episode look like
right.
in this? And I think that the plot of that episode looks like Sam is disenchanted with the way that things are, and he's like, guys, I gotta break up with Cindy. That seems like a Sam plot that we're gonna get.
If you're right, man, I swear.
As for why he doesn't like, you know, I think there are multiple routes where this could go. I think the one that I just laid out is probably the most likely, unfortunately, but there are other possibilities that I could see for this plot. One is the fully positive option, where Sam and Cindy are together. Sam is apprehensive right. about physical stuff because it's Sam and he's very shy and naive about that sort of thing. But together they're able to find a way to be like, hey, Sam, it's okay to be nervous. You know, we can do this together and it can be safe and it can be okay. And they can have like a very positive, constructive, consensual high school, whatever. Right. That's one possibility. Don't think we're going there, but
no, probably not.
Probably not. Another possibility is Sam and Cindy get together. They're together for a little bit. And then Cindy is the one who calls Sam on his bullshit,
ooh.
Which she's done somewhat in the past. When he's sort of out of hand, resented blonde hair boy, whose name I don't remember.
Todd.
Yep. You got it.
It's the most forgettable name.
It was monosyllabic. So there is a possibility where she calls Sam out on being sort of like passive aggressive and expecting like he deserves certain things. But again, I just don't expect the show to do that, which is also Unfortunate.
I think to progress other things to talk about with the Cindy, yeah, Sam half of the plot, because here's my thing with this episode that I'm starting to realize from looking at my notes. The mooching part, super fun, very well written, overall a good time.
Yeah.
Nobody comes out of that like infuriating. I like all of that. That's why it's baffling that the smooching stuff is so bad. And it's so so what happens is Sam says, how does he find out that Cindy actually likes him? Doesn't someone tell him? Oh, Bill tells him.
Bill. She like pulls Bill aside and has a whole powwow with Bill.
Because Bill is the feminine one. So I can tell you anything, Bill. And then, of course, Sam is like, no, you're lying because you want to mess with me. And it's like, okay, friend. Okay, that's how friends work.
Okay, bud. Chill out.
Like, I guess Bill has so much stake in the game that he wants to sabotage you.
Yeah.
And he tells him and he says, okay, I guess I'll ask Cindy out. And then he asks Cindy out. And this is where the thumbnail for, I guess, episode 8 came from. He goes in he asks her out to one of the, like, Vicky's party, I think it is. And it's like a makeout party because she's like, I hope Sam asks. She basically gives Bill like the instructions for dating her. She's like, I hope Sam asks me to this party on this evening. Today he asks me today during my break. That was easy. And then she says yes. And she goes in for the kiss and, what's it called? What's the actor's name who plays Sam Weir? John Patrick Daly. His eyes cross a lot when he goes in for the kiss, which is funny because it's like, oh, his eyes super cross. And that's a good comedic visual thing. Uh-huh. But also I was reading from our buddy Dax. He has like the commentary tracks for the show. So he like gives us the highlights of them whenever mm-hmm. he writes in. He was saying that John Patrick Daly was like trying to focus on her eyes or her nose. And then right when the kiss happened, his eyes crossed perfectly.
That's funny.
And it totally is because it works and make him look super awkward. And then other stuff happens. And, you know, the other thing about Sam and his friends is like his friends aren't supportive in cool ways. They all just want their own piece of the fucking pie. Nobody is like, I'm here to help you and be supportive. They're just because they're high school friends. Like, that's a really accurate thing about high school friends is they're all just like, can I get in on the makeout party? Can I go out with Vicky instead? And you go out with that girl? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, guys, just be helpful.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like they're exceptionally that way, though.
Yeah, it is, especially compared to the freaks. It's like, oh my god, then the geeks don't even care about each other at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about like kissing and stuff. And I think I have a line in here. I can't remember who says what, but Harris and Gordon both hear about it. And oh yeah, Gordon is super supportive and he's like, yeah, Sam, you're finally getting what you want. That's really great. Like, Gordon is who we want to see out of Sam's friends.
Amazing. Gordon's the best.
And then Harris is like, lucky you. You did good work, Sam. And you're like, no, Gordon. Or no, Harris, stop. No. Like, good 10 points to you. Greg, now you're going to learn to make out. But uh-oh, do you know how to kiss?
It's just extra creepy when the sort of, like, the patriarchal stuff comes out of Harris's mouth for some reason. Because he's supposed to be this voice of wisdom. But when he...
Exactly.
The other episode, he was giving Sam advice on... what was it? It was like how to talk to a woman or... Oh, no. It was the one where they had the friend. What's her
Maureen?
Name? Maureen. And he was like advising them on how to keep her as a friend.
Yeah. And he's like, you got to get into all of her classes. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's because he's so confident and wise sounding that stuff is really creepy and off-putting. Yes. And then Gordon is again in the corner just being so perfect. Ugh.
The best.
Gordon. The best. And he's like, oh, but if you don't know how to kiss, then you're going to really mess it up. And he's like, do I use tongue? And then I think Neil says, it's not a real kiss unless you use your tongue. And then they're like, are you supposed to lick? Or Bill is also asking about it. Like, kissing is stupid. What, are you supposed to lick her teeth? There's nothing to think about with kissing. You boys have the ability to overthink the simplest shit. It's my God.
The delineation between kissing and French kissing is fascinating because it really was something that I cared a lot about and thought, you know, I thought these two things were worlds apart from each other, but it's just not the case. Practically speaking, it's like all the bits, your lips are there, your tongue's there, everything's there. French kissing is not, I don't know. It's such an early high school fascination, I think.
Like, are you guys going to be friends? Because French kissing just means like kissing. It just means like more tongue, right?
It means
more
tongue. Passionate. Like kissing in this context.
Yeah.
Kissing would just be lip kissing.
That seems weird.
And French kissing is tongue kissing. But like, what? There's, you're kissing. I don't know. It's not.
The Bill line, Bill is me in all of these moments, because he says, are you supposed to lick her teeth? And that got me thinking so much about what it would be like to kiss someone and then feel their teeth and how prime. It just makes me laugh so much, man. Like, you're just smooching on a beautiful person, and then it's like, like, you're tasting the shit in their mouth.
Because it really makes you wonder where Bill got that question from. Like, if there have been moments where he's sitting alone and he just runs his tongue along his teeth and thinks, yeah, that's a nice feeling.
I want to do that with someone else. I guess this is how the boys think about their sexuality for now. And like, not sexuality, but like what sex is like, this is the first stage of that, is thinking about what kissing
right.
is.
Right. I mean, this is, I remember, I think it was a This American Life story or something like that, that was really fascinating. Talking about educating young men, around consent, and part of the problem being that young men are very fascinated with essentially finding the like right sequence in which to do things.
Oh, I remember that was This American Life. Yeah, I know what you're talking
heard
about
that one.
Yes.
And the problem is that, you know, men talk to men about what women want and develop some sequential understanding of like, first you do this, then you do this, then of course this is the next step, and then this. And that doesn't leave any room to talk to the woman about what she wants in that situation. These are heterosexual men and women that were specifically is what this story covered. And so these young men would be running up into problems where, you know, maybe they like kissed someone's neck or something and she didn't like it. And it's like, well, why didn't she like that? That's the thing you're supposed to do. And so it can create emotions of like making someone feel that they're wrong for not liking something, or making you feel like you did it wrong, even though they didn't necessarily want it, yada, 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 right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so this seems of that ilk, that there's kissing, and then there's French kissing, and you're supposed to use, like, a doctor's prescribed perfect amount of tongue at a perfect time in order for it to be, like, the official good kiss. And it's like, you just got to get in the room and get to smooching, and you'll figure it out from there.
That's why the Bill one works for me, Bill and Vicky, because it's totally just like two people figure it out together.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. So the geeks get invited, or Sam gets invited, and then just, I guess, also invites his friends. And we get a fun scene where they're all picking outfits to Bob Seger songs. And Sam like pulls out the French pale blue suit or whatever, and you're like, haha. And then Neil tries to wear a robe and then goes, no, I can't pull this off. And they all get dressed and they go to the makeout party. Is that a thing? Was that a thing that I just didn't get invited to, Magellan?
Well, I think by the time we were in high school, it was all those parties that Oprah talked about where people sucked dicks with different colored lipstick.
What?
That was like a thing.
Who talked about that?
It was like a thing on Oprah that she talked about that was a big whole issue that ended up not really being founded in any way, which is that teenagers were having these parties where the dudes would sit around in a circle with their dicks out and the women would put on different colored lipstick and then go around and like suck the men's penises, and the idea is like by the end, like you got a rainbow dick, and this was like,
dude,
oh my
straight
god,
straight people are gonna kill me, Magellan. I'm gonna die from the straights. Holy shit!
But this wasn't a thing.
Oh, it wasn't a thing. Okay.
It wasn't a thing, but it was like some story that was started to freak out parents, basically.
Fantastic. Darla, why are you coming home with purple lipstick? What the fuck? Yeah. Tommy's got a purple dick. Oh man.
Anyway, so I don't know. I don't think anybody called them makeout parties when we were in high school. I think it was just like parties.
I definitely remember seeing Facebook pictures in early high school of like a bunch of teens in a basement drinking. That's the closest thing I got to what they're talking about. I don't know how much making out there was or what. I don't fucking know.
I also think the term makeout fell out of vogue when we were in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think. Because now it's all about hooking up.
Yes. It's all about hooking up. It's all about... That's a good point. That was like right around when we were in high school was that shift. And it feels like... Adults will tell you it feels like things have gotten way more sexual than they were back in my day. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just different words for the same thing, which is just capital H horniness. They're at this makeout party. They got their cute outfits. And Sam meets up with Cindy, and she whisks him off to magical kissing wonderland in her like white sweater that makes her look like she's in a Britney Spears video. Mm-hmm. I wrote here, it looks like she's coming from 90s church. it's an excessively loud outfit. And
I really hope
all that happens to Sam.
God is, yeah, 90s God in heaven. That's what I'm really, really. It's just God, but he's got like a flannel.
Flannel and like Junko jeans?
Yeah.
Junko. Sam and Cindy just go up to make out, and then she turns the lights off, and he's like, oh, I'm not ready for this. And that's the end of Sam's plot. That's all it is.
And that's actually the last time you see Sam in the whole show. It's kind of an unfortunate loose end because it was canceled, but you never do see Sam again.
I just like to assume that he was killed. I think that she just did the thing that the girl from Up, Up, Down, Down by Kirby Crackle did and like ate him alive and cooked him. The timely references.
Good 7-year-old reference there, bud.
Thank you. The echoing of time marches on. Anyways, Neil and Sam's dead, is definitely dead. Neil and Bill participate in the worst party game of all time.
Ugh, the grossest thing in this episode was Neil practicing spinning the bottle,
trying to get the arc perfect.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, no, this spin the bottle as a concept is so stupid and bad and gross, and it goes against everything that young people are supposed to learn about, like consent and like romance and sex. And it's just like, hey, you spin the bottle, whoever lands on you gotta kiss them. You gotta. If it's a girl and a girl, then you go, ooh, and then nobody does it. And if it's a girl and like an ugly guy, then she like lets him do like a little peck on the cheek, and that's it. And then fucking Vicky at one point like gets Bill or something, and she just puts out her hand and he kisses her hand, and you're like, oh, the power dynamics are horrible.
Yeah.
The only redeeming factor about that stuff was that they were playing Warren Zevon, and I like Warren Zevon a lot. But like, even this is the funny thing to me also, the shitty dude from episode one who comes back like once every six episodes.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who's making fun of Eli, he's at this party and it's like, who invited you? What? Everyone here is unhappy when it lands on you. Then like, why were you invited? How did you get into this?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Also, how old are you?
He definitely looks a lot older, without a doubt. I don't know. They all like make out, and then Bill's like, oh, it's never going to land on me. Oh, well. And then Neil is pissed that it's not going to land on him.
Well, and Neil keeps spinning it and landing on Bill also.
Right. And they don't kiss.
Yeah, and then
just kidding. And then I think Vicky, Bill deserves better.
Vicky lands on Bill a few times,
and she keeps making him just like kiss the hand. It's just weird, dude. Just like, hey, you're in a group of people that you don't really know that well. You have to kiss someone.
Yeah, I mean, in my improv group in college, we had some weird games that had maybe or maybe not some kissing involved, but that was like, we all know each other.
At least, yeah, yeah.
Pretty well. And we all, like, nobody's in this to, like, make out with somebody right now. This is just, like, it's a party and we're doing something weird because we're in an improv group. But, Spin the Bottle is so, like, people just really, in the show right now anyway, people are wearing their emotions on their sleeves around who they're kissing. And that just makes it feel so gross. And it's like, what do you want to get? What is an ideal game of Spin the Bottle? Legitimately.
It depends on who you are. Because if you're one of the geeks, then you get to kiss a cute girl. But if you're one of the girls, then you probably want to kiss one of the cute guys. That's like a perfect, that's what everyone wants.
But if you're, I don't know. But if your goal in Spin the Bottle is to like kiss a cute person, then you've already lost.
Yes. You did it.
Yeah.
Just kiss a cute person. You don't need a bottle to tell you who to kiss. Mm-hmm. This is reminding me of that that draft that I wrote of a short story about. It was an intro to psychology classroom where the whole story was told from the point of view of every student in the room. So everybody got like a couple paragraphs. And it was all about like perspective and like learning how to see from the other half of the divide. And like there was like racial, sex, gender stuff and like people thinking things that they didn't show outward. It's so corny and bad and I'm never going to write it. But like that was the elevator pitch. It was kind of, it was a thing I wrote coincidentally in my intro to psych class because it was so boring. But I digress. Vicky and Bill, just to wrap up this plot for good, get 7 minutes in heaven. Because the thing is, if you land on the same person three times, I think it's 7 minutes in heaven where you go into a closet and someone counts down 7 minutes and you just, I don't know, exist, fuck, kiss, watch TV. I don't know. And they sit in the room and then she says, please let the time pass without touching me. Don't fucking touch me. And he's like, I won't. I don't want to. You're the meanest person in the world. And then they get to have a little bit of a real moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. That was a nice thing that came out of all of this was he was like, oh, I don't remember any of the lines, but he's basically saying like, oh, you're just mean and you're pretty and you don't even realize. Like, he says, what's it like being pretty?
Hmm.
And she says, I don't know. I've always been like this. And that's like a good moment.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's like good bit of honesty from Vicky and a good line in general. And then they just kind of have a quiet moment. And then he's like, well, okay, I'm not going to kiss you because I get it. I understand. I'm not going to mess with you. And she's like, okay, fine. And then she makes out with him for the rest of the episode. And then Neil's like, you're 7 minutes. We're up 10 minutes ago. And they're just getting in there. Smooch-a-dooch. And so that's the like da 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 of the episode, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will come of that.
No. I think I would have been more inclined to enjoy that if it wasn't in the same episode as all of this Sam stuff. Because it really was the coda on this feeling that this episode was about nerd boy wish fulfillment.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like, if you work hard enough and if you're nice enough, then you're going to get the girl.
Uh-huh.
Which is just an exhausting way to start a thought anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like all of the guys, all of at least the geeks in this are doing that and it's working out. And that's why it's like kind of a bummer of an episode. Just like, really? Really? That's not how life works. I want to talk about the Nick stuff real briefly. If you have a couple more minutes, Magellan.
Yeah.
I like to think of these episodes as like an interview with the co-host.
Yeah.
If you have a little bit more time.
I'd love to go.
So we got Nick. And Nick has been moving from house to house. He's talking at the lunch table about, like, I stayed at Ken's house last night, and now we're growing our afros out together because it's the fucking 80s. And they're all like, oh, you can't stay at my house. And he becomes like Jesus in the Christmas story. And he's trying to find which inn will take him in, but they're all full.
We can't blow by the fact that the reason that he can't stay at Ken's house again is because he took a giant shit in the toilet and didn't flush it.
Clogged the toilet. No, was that at Ken's or Daniel's?
It was at Daniel's.
No, it was at Daniel's because Ken says, you can't stay with me at all because my dad like is strict or something. Like, he hates you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, him and Daniel are like, he's like, please, dude, just like one more night. That's so unfortunate, man. That's
you shouldn't have taken a big shit, man.
I use that toilet to tunnel into the underground where I have dug a portal to a dark dimension.
Come on, I'm a lich. Nick, I'm a fucking lich.
I resurrect demons from the dead. Stop being such a broad. God, Nick.
Yeah, you're on your period or something.
It's always the code. That's always the last bit. Kim's like, no, fuck, don't even. No, he doesn't even ask Kim. He's like, no, your house is not available. I know. Which is funny. And then he's like, but Lindsay, what about your house? She's like, have you met my dad?
Have you met
not gonna let you.
The fact that we just broke up a little bit ago? Have you met that?
Have you met the fact that it's not just my dad, but also I don't want to be in the same house with you? That'd be the most awkward thing ever. And she's right to think that because it happens. And she says, well, she doesn't even mention it. But then, like, well, during dinner, Nick knocks on the door of the house and he's like, hey, what's up? And that's so scummy to just be like, hey, food smells good. And then, of course, Jean walks right into it, and she's like, oh, would you like some? It's like, oh, I guess I'll just walk right in. Okay, thanks, Weirs. That was easy. So Nick gets into the house and eats the dinner with the Weir family. I also love that every time one of Lindsay's friends comes over, they just are madly in love with Jean's dinner. Especially because in the diary, we learned that the family themselves don't like her dinner that much. But everyone that comes over is like, Oh, Jean, the pot roast. So they're all there in the house, and even Sam talks to him, and he's like, hey, Nick, do you like my sister? Awkward. I know he also walks in on him when he's in his underwear, which is later. But the big question during all of this is, why is Harold so nice to Nick? And that's the question that we're going to leave you to ponder this week on Freaks Chat. I like end the episode. I'm like, and that's where we're going to leave it this week, folks. Make sure to tune in next week to Serial Season 3.
Bum, 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 bum.
No, come on. The reason that Harold likes him is because Nick is... this is actually an interesting thing I didn't think about until just now. I think that Harold cares for Nick the same way that Lindsay cares for everyone, which is like she wants to feel like she's saving them. So like in a way, Harold feels like he's saving this boy a little bit, and like, oh, it seems like your life is really rough, and you're like, you want to be a drummer, but you don't know how to apply yourself. I'm gonna teach you. I'm gonna take you in as your savior.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a cool like sins of the father kind of thing, like Lindsay.
It's interesting because it I do agree that it seems like Harold has that impulse, but he also has the kind of real world practicality that Nick's friends have about his situation, where Harold is eventually resigning himself to the idea that Nick has a really strict dad, and I had a really strict dad, Harold, I had a really strict dad, and Lindsay, you don't really understand because I'm not like that with you, but it's incredibly difficult. And sometimes you just need somebody to encourage your thing. It's not even about doing the thing. It's about somebody who's willing to listen and help you take the classes and all that without jumping down your throat constantly about your grades shaping up and everything else.
Exactly. It's just, it's literally just like, hey, can you foster this creativity a little bit and not make me feel crazy for liking this form of art or whatever, or form of creating something? Mm-hmm. If you can do that, then you are a good influence in my life. And that's all he needed, was for someone to tell him, like, yeah, you can totally just be a drummer, but you need to understand the fundamentals. So Mr. Weir starts paying for Nick to have drumming lessons, which is very nice.
Yeah, because I don't think that Mr. Weir's goal here is to make Nick a famous drummer. I think it's to get him to develop a work ethic.
Right, and decide what he actually should want to do. If it's be a drummer, then is he going to work hard at it? And if it's not that, then he has to know how to work hard at the other thing. Which works, basically, I think, because he's taking the classes, he's doing well, he's learning. We have that kind of awkward scene that reminded me of going to other people's houses where Nick is listening to Tom Sawyer by Rush, which gave me actual chills because that's like my favorite Rush song. And then he's like sitting on the floor and Mr. Weir comes in and he's like, Nick, it's quiet time here at the Weir household.
Yeah.
We have an hour. It's the quiet hour where we all don't fucking talk and we just do our homework and sit. And then he's like, oh, I'm at my bad. That just, the reason I said that was awkward is because it reminded me of like going to other people's houses and discovering rules you didn't know they had until you broke them. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know we were supposed to take our shoes off, or like, ooh, I was supposed to like sit on the nice furniture.
Ooh, I didn't know you had to log your TV time. Ooh.
Have you been to a house where they log TV time?
I'll talk to you off mic about.
Cool. That's fascinating.
Or it's like you earn TV time for doing certain hours of like practicing your musical instrument, or
wow. I just solved that by never having people over and never going over people's houses until like the middle of high school. Easy. Never had awkward childhood story like that. No, but I did with like other Arab families, but I digress. So they're doing that stuff. He's listening to music, he's becoming a better drummer. They're listening to Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich because Harold's like, I'll show you some real drumming. Mm. And they just rock the fuck out.
Dancing around. And
yeah, very cute scene where they're all, it's like Gene and Nick are dancing and Harold's like clapping along to that song. It's like super nice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, everything's going well. But again, Lindsay, classic Weir sibling, just everything's going well, but I'm not happy.
Well, I think she has legitimate
cause. More reason to be unhappy. Yeah.
It's a very, like, very weird scenario.
My ex is dancing with my mom. This is weird.
Yeah.
And my dad is paying for his lessons. But then she like is very honest later. Well, because actually what happens is Nick's dad comes over, Sawyer from Lost. And then, whoops. That's a minor Lost spoiler. Oopsie. Holy shit, I didn't realize I said that out loud. I just started blushing. He comes over and he says, you need to give me my son back. And then Harold's like really respectful with him. He's like, hello, my name is Harold Weir and I have your son. I've done this and this, and I will give him back to you. Nick goes back without any fighting and says, thank you so much, you guys have changed my life, blah blah blah. You know, just the kind of some crap. And then Lindsay's talking at dinner with Harold and she's like, why does he get to have the nice stuff? And he's like, no, it's different, like he needs it. I'm always giving you my best. And I actually, that was another thing that resonated with me, like seeing my parents, like when they would meet new other kids and like be really nice and supportive and talk with them, and then I'm like, wait, but I don't get that kind of treatment.
Yeah.
And the answer is just like being a parent to someone is being different, is way different than them just like talking to you as a regular kid.
Yep.
It's a very different relationship. And then, yeah, I think that's kind of how the whole situation ends. Oh, and then my favorite line of all of that very rewarding plot and dialogue was, Dad, I can't stay inside all the time. And he goes, I know. Why not? And that is that half of the episodes. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum. Freezing Geeks. So I think that covers smooching and mooching.
Yes,
I thought that was pretty tight.
I agree.
Whew. Gosh, Magellan, next week on Freaks Chats, it's the last Freaks Chats.
Wowzer Bowser.
Hey, Lindsay, we're going to shoot off the spaceship into the sun.
Hey,
you want to come watch?
Lindsay, I'm going deep undercover, and I can never talk to you in this joke again.
Did you keep the codes that I mentioned earlier in this joke?
You're going to need to go back and listen closely to find the clues to the codes. Collect all 10.
And then... Dude, I don't know what it is about that impression that kills me every time. That's going to be like the thing I'm going to miss the most about Freeze Chats. It's just CIA agent Daniel Donovan Dunbar, whatever the fuck his name is.
We can just watch The Sopranos next and do that.
And just, and God, like insert.
For years.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be a multi-year long podcast where we only know the ending. Do you know anything about The Sopranos other than the ending?
Nope.
Me neither. Great, let's watch The Sopranos.
I know a guy at work who loves the Sopranos and thinks it's the best movie ever made or something.
Oh,
that's his hot take.
I like it. It's a true take. It's a good movie.
Anyway,
next week on Freaks Chats, we're watching the final two episodes. Magellan, hit him with that Netflix summary.
All right. The first episode we're watching next week is Freaks and Geeks episode 17, The Little Things. Ken questions his sexuality after his girlfriend reveals a secret.
What?
Sam becomes fed up with dating Cindy.
Ugh.
Told ya.
Wait, but the kicker, here comes the kicker.
George Bush visits McKinley for an assembly.
I can't remember if they actually got an actor to play George Bush Sr. or if it's like an off-camera cameo.
Probably off-camera, but who knows? Then we're watching episode 18, the final episode of Freaks and Geeks, called Discos and Dragons. The freaks find out that Nick is entering a disco competition with his new girlfriend. Lindsay faces a decision that could set her life on a new path.
Yeah, man, Discos and Dragons, definitely the one episode from this last batch that we both seem to remember a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a disco. I remember Dungeons and Dragons. and then I remember the disco scene having like some good music
I
or
do
something.
Too, yeah.
So that's going to be the ending of this podcast. Hopefully we have figured out what the fuck we're going to watch next for chats, because if you've been following our chats journey, this is show number 2 and show number 3 is on the horizon. So
if you have any amazing suggestions, we have
Please.
A few shows that we're considering, but it's a delicate process.
Oh my God, it's so delicate. It's literally been months in the making. We've spent like half of Freaks Chats talking about what we're going to watch after Freaks Chats. But anyways, let's do some quick plugs. You can, as always, email recommendations for shows, cooking recipes, questions, comments, and most importantly, concerns to chatspod@gmail.com.
You guys sound really bucolic lately. I don't know what the deal is.
Signed, Love Lost in Louisiana. You can also tweet at chatspod to do the same thing, but with a character limit. 140. You can tweet at me. I haven't used Twitter in a while. I like check it a lot, but I don't tweet just because,
yeah, same.
You know, doing stuff. At Alan Ibrahim is my handle. It's AllenIbrahim. Magellan.
You can find me on Twitter at justafluke. That's JUSTAPFLUKE.
And you can find Magellan's awesome webcomic at theplatonicsolidscomic.tumblr.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I just wanted to remind people of it because I love it. And that is going to do it for Freeze Chats this week, folks. This week, did I mess that up at all? I didn't mess that up. Yay! Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great week. Hello, Freaks Chats listeners. This is Alan bringing you the mailbox for episode 9 of Freaks Chats. Man, it feels good to say that. I have not said that in, gosh, what is it, a week? We didn't actually get any new comments this week because we are in this weird state of watching one episode a week and talking about them. But I'm going to actually read today the second half of both the Twitter and email comments that we got last week, because both of those reference events in Smooching and Mooching, which is the episode we talked about this week. So we're going to start with the second half of Dax's email Picking up right where we left off, number 11 on his commentary fun facts. In Smooching and Mooching, Sam Levine says he worked so hard to eat as little as possible in the lunch scenes, while Martin Starr says he ate, quote, so much he loved it. Number 12, they originally wrote ELO's Showdown into the script when Sam walks down the hall to ask Cindy out, but could never get the rights. John Daly says he didn't mean to cross his eyes like that when Cindy leans in to kiss him. He just kept his eyes focused on her forehead. That, of course, is now kind of in an awkward continuity way, the thumbnail to episode 8, because of that little piece of trivia. 14, Paul Feig talks about how all throughout the show he wanted to get AC/DC or Led Zeppelin songs, but the price was way out of budget. Which, I mean, like, you were able to get Styx, you were able to get, I think, Van Halen in some versions of the show. I was reading somewhere that the Netflix ones have, like, edited music, which is a bummer, but I would rather take accessibility of access and some good licensed music to, like, all the licensed music, but only in the original, I guess, DVDs, maybe? Point is, there's already a lot of music licensing going on in the show, so they had to hit a point somewhere where they had to say, nope, can't afford that. 15, Sam Levine credits the show for introducing him to music of the 70s, which he still loves to this day. Very true, this show is such a love letter to early 80s, late 70s music. Number 16, Sam improvised the scene while practicing kissing on the dummy with the empty martini glass and making the dummy's eyes move, and the crew was so disturbed by it, nobody would talk to him the rest of the day. That reminds me of the scene where he does the kiss for you thing, which was very weird. I guess that's, yeah, it's... Sam Levine seems like a weird dude, is what I'm getting at, but like a cool weird dude. 17, Levine says he was such a fan of the show in the later episodes when he got the scripts that he would only read the geek storylines and not the freak ones because he felt like he was being deprived of being able to watch the show. This way, when he saw them on TV, he got to see a brand new storyline that he didn't know existed, which really shows you how little the actual cast of both halves of the show interacted with each other. 18, Martin Starr says, when the producers mentioned maybe having Bill get 7 minutes in heaven with someone, he quickly mentioned Joanna Garcia. So that's how that ended up happening. Shout out to Martin Starr. You knew who you wanted, and you asked for it. 19, finally, Starr says, filming the kissing scene was hard because the only direction he got was to not move and to not kiss back. And then, quote, she kissed my teeth, I'm not joking. Which is, coincidentally, the thing that we latched onto when they were talking about kissing. When Bill actually was talking about kissing before in this episode in the lunchroom. Yeah, he mentions licking teeth, but sort of similar ideas. And then for Twitter, we have Angela Scrangela's comments regarding Smooching and Mooching. Nick, while eating dinner at the Weirs, reminds me of Bill Murray in What About Bob, a film I have not seen. I might have read that one, actually. I feel like I remember reading one piece of trivia from the next episode, so whoopsie. Cindy has always seemed rather vapid. Is she worth Sam's affections? I hope she has hidden depths. She probably doesn't. Harold is blowing Nick's mind. How did he learn to do that, says Nick. And then Harold says, I don't know, maybe he took a lesson, which is a good Harold sass moment. Nick, you don't sleep in only your underwear when you're couch surfing. I mean, yes, you're right. You're right. Bill has valid concerns about French kissing. Yes, we definitely talked about that. And wait, what is Cindy doing? Is she really going to have sex with Sam? He's got to get out of there. Not okay. I like that we all want to protect Sam because he just can't. These aren't the things you should be doing. Bad, Sam. Now you're going to, next week, $10, $10 million. Actually, I was going to say $10 million says Sam doesn't like dating Cindy, but we already know that from the Netflix summary. Whoops. And then regarding our tweet about how, like, whoops, I hope you're all having a good weekend, but we weren't able to get episodes up in time. Angela says, life making you do life things is rough. I feel your pain, and I'm glad to have even half an episode. Hashtag adulting. So let's all go out there and continue to do this hashtag adulting thing that I keep hearing about. And let's meet back here next week for the final episode of Freaks Chats. Thank you for listening. And now for real, for honest to goodness real this time, have a good week.